Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The University of Tulsa will play its first home football game of the year this weekend in a socially distanced Chapman Stadium. Combine that tidbit with the fact that it's homecoming tells you everything you need to know about this very strange year. Homecoming at the University of Tulsa, like every other campus across the nation, will be very different this year. In fact, many alumni will be home attending reunions virtually. And some traditional activities will be postponed until next year. Others, like the bonfire, canceled altogether. But the honorees will still be honored, and we decided to ask one of them to join us today during this very unusual time for both the university and the community. My guest has been a major contributor and supporter of both. Steve Turnbow is the chairman emeritus of the public relations firm Schnocke Turnbow Frank and has spent 40 years in the business. He's the recipient of the university's J. Pascal Twyman Award for outstanding commitment to the university. Turnbow came to the university to play baseball and was all Missouri Valley Conference as a baseball player. He began his career as TU's sports information director before turning to advertising, then PR. He's been a longtime community advocate for diversity and social justice projects as well. He's been a longtime member of the University Board of Trustees and is currently a trustee emeritus. He's held leadership roles with the Tulsa Regional Chamber, the Oklahoma State Chamber, the Oklahoma Judicial Nominating Commission, the John Hope Franklin Center for Reconciliation, and the Oklahoma Center for Community and Justice. In fact, he's been all things TU throughout his career and today still teaches a course on public relations case studies each spring. Steve Turnbow has been an advocate for both town and gown throughout his career, and he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Steve Turnbow, welcome to Studio Tulsa, and it is such an honor to have you with me today. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, no, it's my honor to be with you all, and your station has been an icon in my mind for many, many years, and I appreciate all the good things you all do and the messages you bring to the community.
Well, first of all, I want to say congratulations on the J. Pascal Twyman Award. I can't think of a better deserving subject. I know you probably knew Pascal very well during your days.
I did. I actually knew Pascal in three different scenarios. I actually attended TU at a junior college, was recruited here and played baseball under Gene Schell. And so I knew Pascal through baseball because he and Joanne were baseball fans and would come to our games on occasion. That's how I knew him. And then secondly, I got to know Pascal because when I graduated, I was fortunate enough that I was hired to be the sports information director, working under Coach Glenn Dobbs, our athletic director. So I knew Pascal in that sense, as an employee of the university. And then later, I knew Pascal as a friend, as an alumnus. And Pascal was very kind to me, and my daughter attended TU, and he was kind to her. So our family has a real connection to the University of Tulsa, and it was the right choice for me. Out of junior college, I had a chance to go to Norman and Stillwater and actually out to Arizona, but I got an opportunity to come to TU, and my mom had advised me, you know, if you go to the University of Tulsa, you're going to meet a lot of people, and when you graduate, it might help you get a job. And so I said, well, that makes a lot of sense, and that's exactly what I did.
Well, you'll be awarded the Twyman Award during the homecoming weekend, this weekend. And I have to tell you, you've probably seen a lot of homecomings at the university. This homecoming weekend will be very different from all the others you've attended in the past.
Sadly, it will be different in the sense of this virus, this coronavirus has taken its hold on the whole country, the whole nation. And there are a lot of different things going on that none of us would have anticipated probably a year ago. I religiously wear my mask everywhere I go, and it will be different, but I've had the pleasure of seeing a lot of TU homecomings, This weekend will be very special, and I'm honored that the university has chosen to bestow this honor on me. I'm sure there are a lot more deserving people, but I'm going to be there with bells on and be very honored to receive the award.
Well, when I think of unabashed believers and supporters in the University of Tulsa, we've already got a sense of this from our conversation today. The first person that comes to mind is you. I want to ask you, what has inspired that kind of loyalty in you over all these years?
Well, I suppose it's when I had the opportunity to come to TU out of a junior college, and it was strictly because of baseball, I knew that it was a small private school. It was nationally ranked. And I was honored that I was going to get a chance to attend the university and hopefully get a degree. So it sort of challenged me from a standpoint of, you can do this if you work hard, study hard. And I will confess, proudly say, I spent a number of evenings in that library on campus studying, because I was an English major with a minor in journalism. And that requires a lot of reading and a lot of writing. So I spent a lot of hours in the library. I'm glad I did. I graduated, and quite honestly, I was fortunate enough to get a job.
Yeah. I do want to ask you, because you mentioned baseball several times. You were a baseball player, and within a few years of you attending university, this university that you loved, and you know the reason you came to the university, baseball was dropped. And I think a lot of people might think, well, that might be the end of your association with the university. But in fact, it grew stronger. What was behind that?
Well, I understood the dilemma and the predicament that the university was in. And ironically, yesterday, I attended Coach Gene Schell's funeral.
Yes.
Out on South Sheridan, and there were a number of former baseball players there that I had the opportunity to say hello to that I hadn't seen in years. But, you know, I think the angst about the decision to drop baseball has left a lot of our minds. It's no longer an issue. We have to remember about Title IX and other things that were coming on the scene, where equal amount of funds and support for women's athletics versus men's athletics. I support that 100%, and I was on the board when we made some decisions to get high behind Title IX and equalize the athletic program at the University of Tulsa. I was for it then, and I remain for it now. I'm sad that we don't play baseball. However, I understand the rationale.
You've witnessed many times during your association with the university. You mentioned you were a longtime member of the Board of Trustees, and you've seen major changes over the years at the university, huge growth in the footprint of the university, a major upgrade in its academic reputation and its work on the academic front, the impact on the community. It's been good times and tough times. Is there something during that time that's struck you as most profound from your involvement during these years?
Probably from the most profound focus that I've seen the university take is to remain committed to high academic standards and to continue supporting that. It's vitally important. You know, when people ask me, how do you describe the University of Tulsa? I say, well, four words: small, private, nationally ranked. And I think those four words encapsulate what the University of Tulsa is and has meant to thousands and thousands of students. We draw students from all over the country, from Europe as well, not so much since 9/11. And I think the attraction of a small private university still has a role to play in this country. And I think TU plays it well. The city has embraced the university for many, many years. We were fortunate and have been fortunate to have newspapers who support the university. The Lorton family has been incredible to the university. And I think that's all of that makes me want to support the university more. I started out, I remember my first Hurricane Club donation was $5, and it's grown since then, but I was told when I graduated, start giving now a little bit and give back to the university that's going to afford you the opportunity to be successful in life. That meant a lot to me then, and it means a lot to me now.
I know you've, as I mentioned, you've seen good times and tough times. You know, I remember when Dr. Lawless became the president of the university, he set the goal of becoming in the top 50 universities, according to U.S. News and World Report, and people were sort of taken aback by that. And it was at a time when there were very tough financial difficulties. Financially, this is a difficult time for all universities, and that's probably especially true for TU today. I'm sure you've witnessed earlier times where the university was in, you know, tough times as far as the financial bottom line. What are your thoughts about this particular tough time for universities?
Well, I think giving back to one's university or their university that's in there within their community is really important, and I think more people are beginning to understand. It's interesting. There are a lot of people outside of Tulsa that do not really know that the University of Tulsa is a private university. Because it has the name Tulsa in it, a lot of people outside of Tulsa that are not connected assume that it's a state university and state-supported, which obviously we are not. So therefore, it makes the challenge of fundraising and growing support more and more important. We don't have not even near the number of alumni that the people who graduated from Stillwater and Norman have. And that's fine, but we're small in number as far as alumni are concerned. And so it's important that we reach out to those alumni and remind them, you got a good education at this university. Please remember it when it's time to support your alma mater.
My guest today is Steve Turnbow. He is Chairman Emeritus of the PR firm Schnocke Turnbow Frank. He's been a longtime supporter of the University of Tulsa. He's been on the Board of Trustees. He's a graduate of the University of Tulsa, and he's the recipient of the J. Pascal Twyman Award from the University of Tulsa this weekend at Homecoming, and he'll be receiving that award, and we thought it would be great to talk with him. Steve has been a longtime observer of the university, been a participant, and he's also been a longtime observer and supporter of the community. And as much as you've been a supporter of the university, you've also been a booster of this community. I want to take you back to the beginning of 2020, before the pandemic. Give us a sense of your view of the community at the beginning of this year as far as what has happened compared to the last 20 years in the city. It seems like the city is really poised for great things as of the beginning of 2020.
I agree. They are poised for great things. And I think a lot of the a lot of the citizens are beginning to have a better understanding and dealing with the issue of the 1921 race massacre. I have to confess that I did not hear about what was then called the 1921 race riot until I got out of school. It just was never brought up in high school at all, and I heard a little about it when I was a student at the university, but not much. And then as I got older, I began to hear more and more about what was then called the race riot. And I began to read up on it, and it was considered one of the worst race riots in American history. And it made me more aware of how important human relations is. I got involved with what was then called NCCJ, National Conference of Christians and Jews. Then it later changed its name, and now it's called the National Conference, because having a name, National Conference of Christians and Jews, which fought against bias, bigotry, and racism, was an inclusive name when we were promoting an exclusive agenda. So it didn't make any sense. So I got involved and learned more about bias, bigotry, and racism, you know, anti-Semitism, the issue with the racial barriers in this community. And I tried to get involved where I could make a small support and small dent in combating that. I think Tulsa's gotten a lot better, and I will attribute the Tulsa World newspaper, who frequently wrote about this issue, and I think it's getting better, but I have to say it's got a long way to go.
Why do you think it's taken us so long to acknowledge that, in your view?
I think that a lot of the issues with racial relations were not in the forefront of the media for many, many years. And I think some of the unfortunate tragedies that have happened in recent years have brought that to the forefront. And Americans, I believe, are very, very sympathetic to the issue of fighting bias, bigotry, and racism. But I don't think it was in the forefront of their minds because of the way it was handled when an incident occurred. It's not that way today, and I'm thankful for that.
Well, beyond acknowledging the systemic racism that's a part of this community, like many other communities past, why do you think that the city is poised for great things today?
Well, I think there's a great unification. I think people have pride in their city. I think the economy, you know, we were a little bit, for years, we suffered, the economy suffered based on the price of crude. Crude oil determined the economic fortune of this city. And I think a lot of that has changed because we have diversified our economy. We have a very strong aerospace industry. We have other industries that have emerged. Manufacturing has emerged. And I think the diversification of the economy has given this city a lot more pride and good feelings about the future. We should not have to hinge our economic livelihood on the price of crude oil. And I think the diversification has gone a long way to that. And I have to tell you, we were a two newspaper town for many, many years. I think that helped immensely. We're now one newspaper town. However, I think I teach a class at TU every spring, and I encourage my students. I won't say I make. I encourage my students to read the newspaper from cover to cover every day. I had a teacher at TU named Bill Hayes, and he encouraged people read. Said, if you're going to major in communications, you best know what's going on in the world. Mm. And I've always believed strongly in that, and I encourage that with my students. And I think Tulsans are, by and large, very educated about what's going on in the world and in the state and in the community.
As much as we've tried to diversify the community, energy is still a major component. And I have to ask you, you know, today it seems like it's a much less rosier picture than the beginning of the year. Obviously, COVID-19 has played a major role on one of the city's strength has been the entrepreneurial spirit. You know, so many small businesses have started up in the city in the last 5 to 10 years, you know, repopulating places that were dormant in the city, you know, not outside of downtown. I'm talking about the near downtown neighborhoods. And obviously they're hurting today. But I think the reason that entrepreneurial spirit has grown is because energy was booming. And energy is, you know, it's better. It's a better place than it was 6 months ago, but it's still in a shaky place. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the energy industry has fluctuated over the years. As I said earlier, I don't think we can rely so much on the energy industry, and diversification is important. However, I ask my students, when you come to class Monday night, know the price of crude. You can see it every morning. You can follow the Dow, and you can follow the price of Oklahoma sweet crude, and you will know how the economy is doing. The economy does reflect, in large part, on the price of crude. You're right. Oil is still an important part of the community, but I think people are becoming more entrepreneurial. And I believe that the emergence of the near north side of Tulsa, which is tremendous, I love to go over there with all the activities and restaurants, was due in large part to the building of the BOK arena downtown. When that arena was built, thanks to the voters of Tulsa, it led to a development on the near north side, and you could I've watched it over the last 10 to 15 years emerge, and I'm proud of what it's done for the near north side, and there is activity flourishing on the near north side, and I think that's good for Tulsa, it's good for human relations, and it's good for the economy.
You know, when you look at the Arts District, for example, you look at the cranes in the sky, and it looks like downtown Tulsa 30 years ago. Unfortunately, I wanted to ask you about if you see any parallels to the early 80s, because, you know, we just had the announcement that Devon and WPX are going to merge, and, of course, they're building a building in the Arts District. The mayor's vowed that that will be completed, and the company's said it will be completed, but I just remember the early 80s, and I'm sure you do too. You were very much involved with the chamber at that time, and you know, you remember that time where we had these half-built buildings that just stopped for a couple of years in downtown, and many projects that were planned that never took off. Do you see any parallels to the early 80s, or do you think that the city's far more diversified?
Well, I see some parallel, but I think the diversification offsets a lot of those parallels, and I think that the entrepreneurial spirit of this community is alive and well. If you want to start a business right now, I think you can go down and you can borrow money. When I started my firm, I remember vividly, I went out to F&N Bank, and because I knew one of the officers at people probably don't remember F&M Bank. It was an acronym for Farmers and Merchants Bank. And I went in to see an officer, and I said, I'm starting a PR firm, and I need $15,000. And he said, well, let me call you back. And he called me back in 2 hours, says, okay, you got your money. And that's what I used to start the firm. So I think there is an entrepreneurial spirit that helps this community thrive and survive. Of course, the oil industry is going to have ups and downs, as I said earlier, based on the price of crude. But we have a lot of other oil-related industries in Tulsa who are also doing well that are not necessarily drillers.
Can you maybe expand on that?
Well, these are the industries that support the oil industry.
The midstream folks?
The midstreamers, yes, the midstreamers, and they do well. I know a company out in West Tulsa called D&L Oil Tools. It's a wonderful company, and they supply equipment to the oil field. And those types of companies have large employments, employee bases, and large payrolls, and they're a big part of this economy.
My guest today is Steve Turnbow. He's the chairman emeritus of the PR firm Schnocke Turnbow Frank, and he's the recipient of the J. Pascal Twyman Award from the University of Tulsa. He'll be given the award this weekend for the university's homecoming, which will be very different than most homecomings for universities this year because of COVID-19, but it is a rich and deserved award. And Steve, I want to ask you to talk a little bit about yourself for a moment. You came to the university to play baseball. You got a degree. You worked for the university for a short time, and then you started your firm. And that firm has been synonymous with the city of Tulsa, with supporting Tulsa efforts. Was that a goal of the firm from the get-go?
I think from the get-go, when I started the firm, I knew that it was important to give back to the community. I always felt that way. And then I had been in business about a year and a half, and I merged with Chuck Schnocke. I got a barking dog here.
That's so all right. No worries.
I merged with Chuck Schnocke, who was probably one of the most intelligent PR professionals I ever worked with in my life. And he and I both believe that in an eight-hour day, you spend 6 hours working for clients. You spend about an hour enjoying conversation with your people you work with, and you spend an hour a day giving back to the community. And I've adhered to that philosophy for many, many years. I think it's important to give back, and I think that's what makes Tulsa the special city that it truly is.
Is that perhaps one of the city's hidden strengths, that philanthropic sense of the city?
I think it is. I mean, the fact that we have one of the best United Way programs in America goes back to the leadership of this community. I've heard a story for years that I think there were three business leaders got together many years ago and said, there's a tsunami headed to Tulsa. And that tsunami is called social services. And if we don't do something to be ready for it, we're going to all pay the price. And that led to getting the community to give all the support possible to the Tulsa Area United Way. And the United Way at that time was supporting 68 agencies. And they continue to thrive and do good work. And I think that speaks well of Tulsans who give back to the United Way and look at all the programs that they support through their United Way gift.
Well, you've certainly been involved in a number of philanthropic opportunities. You've been involved with the University of Tulsa, involved through your business on a number of community efforts. You've led the Chamber of Commerce, the Oklahoma State Chamber, and many other things in your career, and we wish you great success. Let me ask you, as you accept the Twyman Award, what are your thoughts about that sort of sense of service to the university and to the community that the award embodies?
Well, I believe in it strongly, and I believe on the masthead of the university when I came here, I remember it said on it, wisdom, faith, service. And I think those three words embody what the university means, what it tries to do to prepare their students for the world of work. And I've tried to live by that. And I'm going to continue to live by that as long as I'm on this earth.
All right. Well, Steve Turnbow, it's been a great pleasure to speak with you. Thanks so much for talking with us today, and congratulations on the Twyman Award. Hope you enjoy the homecoming weekend, and I hope we can enjoy more homecoming weekends that are a little bit more normal down the road.
Well, thank you, Rich, and thanks for everything that your station does for the community.
Steve Turnbow, longtime resident and supporter of both the City of Tulsa and the University of Tulsa, speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. He's the recipient of this year's J. Pascal Twyman Award from the university, which will be given this weekend during homecoming activities. He's the chairman emeritus of the PR firm Schnocke Turnbow Frank. For more information on the homecoming activities, you can visit tualumni.com. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.